This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
You are full of bullshit, my friend. I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass.
All right, Tuesdays with Tom. Tom Chattel from the World Herald. How are things in your world, my man?
Okay, what's going on?
Well, if you haven't heard, it's another day. It's another piece of news coming out of Lincoln. As you know, yesterday you wrote about it. Good column, good insight, and I thought some engaging questions that were asked. So I will turn it on you and ask, mid-December, the Nebraska media, the social media group, they film a promotional spot with Wandale Robinson and Austin Allen.
Okay.
They tell everyone Merry Christmas with a picture of Wandale Robinson. His position coach, or one of his position coaches who knows him really well, Ryan Held, a week ago today, wishes Wandale Robinson a happy birthday. Today, Wandale Robinson doesn't play at Nebraska and is looking for his next home. What happened, Tom?
I don't know. I think the story about his mother, I think that's a big piece of it. But I think it also just sort of shined a light on the fact that he wasn't really happy. I mean, it's one thing to like your teammates, maybe like school and the environment, but I think he wasn't happy with his role, and I don't think Gary, I haven't talked to him, so I don't know exactly, but everything I've been told and we've reported and talked to people, he wasn't happy about being a running back. So I don't think he saw that changing. And I don't think he saw – I think he's got handlers. He's got people there that have, I don't know if it's if you call him a coach or a trainer, but he's had somebody, you know, with him the whole time. Looking out for him, and I think they were not happy with the direction of his role, and I don't know what his role is. I mean, I know he put up a lot of stats and numbers, but I don't know what the roles of this offense are half the time, and I think there's a lot of interchangeable parts, and that's probably not bad, but you know what we talked about it before. Where are the running backs in this deal? And it's just sort of a thing where they just kept running out of playmakers, and they had to put him over in the running back position. And you know that's probably good for maybe a game or maybe put in a package or a few series. But he was carrying a load there and getting knocked around pretty good. So. I think it just boils down to he was longing, a piece of him wanted to be home, and another side of him that said it's just not going to work here.
So the guy that was running back one, we're just waiting for him to make it official that Dedrick Mills will go to the NFL draft. But then there are four defensive players that have the ability to come back that were starters that haven't made up their mind. But there are rumblings with three of them, Williams, Dismuke, and Honus, that they're going to come back. Ben Stille is still up in the air. If four defensive starters come back and they join JoJo Doman and Cam Taylor-Britt, can that make up for the news of the departure of Wandale Robinson?
Well, I don't know if it makes up for it or not. I mean, you got to score points at some point. I mean, you know, I don't know how good that defense is going to be. I mean, it's not going to be a great defense. I think it can be good. Is that enough? No, I think, you know, Scott Frost's whole system and whole vision is based around offense. And, you know, playing up-tempo, playing fast, a lot of moving parts, a lot of speed, a lot of touchdowns, and they just don't have the pieces. It's like I've said a couple times. If he chose an identity, if you wanted to run the ball, did they have running backs? If you want to throw the ball, do they have receivers? I mean, they don't seem to have enough parts to do anything. So it's I don't know. We're going into year four, and there's a lot of turnover, and there'll be a lot of important players have not worked out and left. So that's kind of where they are. And so does defense make up for it? If it's Alabama's defense, maybe. But I mean, if it's the same defense we saw this year, that was good. But it's not gonna carry it through next season.
Yeah, I've said this. Whoever is back, they have to make the jump from 6-7 in the Big Ten. If they could be a 4-5 defense, but I continue to hit this point. I think our definition of good defense has changed. If you say get 5 stops a game, the other team's gonna have the ball 9 times. Field goals better than touchdowns. Get me a turnover, we're good to go. Because Alabama's defense is not the Alabama defense that we have become familiar with. But I think it also shows the involvement of the evolvement of their head coach in, okay, this is the way that college football is played today, and this is where I'm finding players that are more on the offensive side of the football. As I read your column on Sunday about Nick Saban, and watching him last night, 8 years ago, Tom, on the same field, they blew out Notre Dame, and we went, wow, that Bama team is scary. Last night, they beat a really good Ohio State team by 28 points, with one of the more unstoppable offenses that we've seen around college football. We love to debate because that's what makes college football great about certain programs and where they place in history. We get into the coach debate, and I think Saban has firmly put himself at the top as the GOAT. Does there ever become a conversation with him about one of the best college coaches of all time, regardless of sport?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly a debate. I mean, in anything where you say greatest ever is a debate. There's no official title. It's not a fact. It's just sort of an opinion. I will say this. I'm old enough to have seen the John Wooden era, and they were just automatic every year, and it didn't matter who the players were. They were all great, and when they walked on the court, they won. And this is like the same. This is the closest thing I've seen to that. I've never seen a college football version of the UCLA dynasty. I think that this is it, because it's gone over 11, 12 years, which is basically the same as Wooden. Mm-hmm. He was early 60s to 75. It's changed the staff. The staff has changed, which I don't think, I don't believe John Wooden did that much. But he had Gene Bartow and Denny Crumbs, and basically the same people. But in any case, Saban has reinvented his staff and himself and his style a couple times. And he's still doing it, and it's all about him. The coaches come and go. He's the reason. So yeah, absolutely. And for him to embrace the up tempo offense and the style, I mean, it's just brilliant. He didn't like it. Now he's leading the way. So yeah, I think he's as good as anybody. But you know, there's a generation who don't know who John Wooden was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think he's as good as anybody. Absolutely.
And 2017, that staff, last night, there is nobody left except for Saban.
Yeah. I mean, there you go. And it's it's all about him. He's the standard, and he's just relentless. And that's what's so impressive about that whole dynasty is the standard, and it never lets up. And there's a way of doing things, and you know, in a world of the transfer portal, guys stay. And you know, don't hear about the ones who leave necessarily, but those guys, they stay and they wait their turn, and that's very impressive. You don't see that very often.
We were talking earlier. We all love March Madness, and I think the first two weekends are better than the last weekend. I don't think the Final Four is the best part of the tournament. We look at college football, and now that we're into the playoff era, and we've got some, I mean, of the 21 playoff games that have been played, six have been one-score games. So you've had the others that have been essentially blowouts, and we're on a run now of some blowouts in the championship game. But doesn't it seem, even going back to the BCS era, and there was controversy there about, you know, the third or fourth team that we're not playing in the one versus two. Doesn't it seem like college football does a great job of getting it right? The champion of college football usually isn't a fluke. They are the best team in college football. They're not a number 11 seed knocking off a 6 seed.
Right. But is that good? Do you get what you want? I mean, yeah, I guess you say yes, you want the best team to win. You want to identify the best team in football, but would an upset hurt so much? Would that be such a bad thing? Would that help the sport even more than identifying the best team? We've seen that in college basketball. The sport of college basketball grew with ESPN, but also grew because of these incredible upsets in the Final Four. NC State and Villanova. There's, you know, and you could argue how that those were not great underdogs. They were very good teams too. Mm-hmm. But the point is, I think that the sport, college football, needs to bring more people into the picture. I really think they're on the verge of kind of turning people away a little bit. And it's such a great sport. The greatest sport, but if you have no chance, and you know, it's eventually you're just like, okay, well, you know, why should I watch Bama and you know, Clemson or Ohio State again and again and again? And Ohio State doesn't look like they're going anywhere anytime soon. So I think expanding to eight, you know, this year's playoff, it's not perfect, mm-hmm. but. You get Cincinnati in there if they earn it, if they're top eight, and they play Alabama. Well, there's your David Goliath game. Probably not going to beat Bama, but you watch to see. You never know. Alabama Notre Dame, I mean, I knew what was going to happen in that game. Alabama Cincinnati, I probably know. I still watch just mm-hmm. just because. The other game would have been Notre Dame A&M, 4-5. Now, you don't have the debate, okay, L.A.M. got shut out, so there's the great debate who deserved to get in, but still a good first-round game.
So
it's probably on campus site. So, and then you would have had OU Florida, and you probably wouldn't have the Florida kids opt out. So, you know, I think it's all more watchable.
Okay, so what adds four teams, you know, to freshen it up so it's not always the same teams. We've got some new teams in there because I get the sense that as long as we have new teams in there and there's not upsets and we still get the best of the best play in the final, I'm fine. But at least we included some new blood. But what do you think is the tipping point that we get to an additional four teams? I mean, this is one of the most talked about things in college football. But I get no sense that the caretakers that have their pulse on it, whether they be, you know, ESPN, which puts on the show, that they could probably have a louder voice if they wanted expansion, or Bill Hancock in the college football playoff, that everybody's comfortable with four. What do you think is the tipping point to expand?
The Nick Saban of the SEC gets mad. I don't think the ACC cares enough. I don't think the Big Ten cares enough about this. that if they get left out, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 certainly aren't gonna. It's the SEC is. It's kind of their sport in a lot of ways, and they have the power. I don't know. It's, you know, and I think that the networks would have to, the ratings would have to really drop, I think. That would be a big thing. I don't know. We keep hearing it's coming. It's coming. This last year with COVID, the finances are down everywhere. People are cutting jobs in sports. Would a team add money? That's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. It would add a week to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Could you take away the conference championship games? Well, I'd be okay with that. Boy, if you expand to eight and you get the five automatic, the five conference champions are automatic, that adds incredible life to the conference championship game. It really, then all of a sudden, Northwestern Ohio State becomes, okay, there's a lot more on the line here. Every one of those conference shots, Iowa State has a chance to go to the playoff. They beat Oklahoma. I mean, it's great theater. So I think, how can we add a week but also keep the conference title games? Or maybe you don't have the conference title games, mm-hmm. and the conference champs are decided by without divisions. But again, the conference title games, if the playoff is on the line, the playoff bid is there,
yep.
it's great TV. Right now, the conference championship games are all bad TV. So I think there's a lot of benefits to it, but you got to figure out how do they add a week. Do you take a week off of the regular season? Well, everybody will be kicking and screaming about losing a home game and of all the revenue. So it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so let's finish on this. Kevin Warren is doing his media tour. He's talking to newspapers in Big Ten cities. He's kind of done a little bit of a national turn this week with Ohio State being in the playoff. He talked to Sam McEwen, and I think Sam asked a lot of the questions that we've had for Kevin Warren. Two questions for you, Tom, off of that interview and some of the other stuff that Kevin Warren has said publicly this week. I think he definitely has shown that he's not tone deaf. He knows that there's some people that are unhappy, but he wants to move the discussion forward, not behind. I get the sense he's also a very religious man that relied on his faith a lot in the month of August and September. But what do you think is the next move for Kevin Warren as the commissioner of the Big Ten? And I keep going back to the tone of, and you just kind of alluded to it, is the Big Ten serious about being a major football conference?
Well, I always say no to that. Well, it was good to see Indiana get all fired up about not being in a big bowl game and all that stuff. But, you know, Kevin Warren, Gary, was an awkward choice, an unusual choice. Like, you know, the Big Ten is arguably one of the top two conferences in college sports. It'd be like Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State, hiring some long shot who'd never been a coach before or who'd never been a college coach before. And I guess Ohio State kind of did that with Ryan Day, but you get my drift.
Mm-hmm.
He'd never been a commissioner. Wasn't even in college sports. He worked at the Fiesta Bowl years and years ago. Or that, you know, it's not the same. You had a guy at the Northwestern, Jim Phillips, who would have been perfect, but they went with this. And he's never done it before. Had never been in that kind of a job before. PR 101, man.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and talk to the people. While all this stuff is going on in August and September, he's hiding. Do not hide. Get out and talk. You know, and we don't want you to say nothing. We want you to say something, but at least get out and talk to people. And the Big Ten just hid behind all this stuff, and he was nowhere to be found. He looked like well, like he was overwhelmed, and maybe it was. But he needs to get out and talk to people. Look, the commissioner of the league is never a hero. He doesn't score touchdowns or baskets. He doesn't win games. He's in charge of making money for everybody, which with TV contracts and building a consensus in the league, which is harder to do with all these schools. But I mean, communicate is the big thing. I was, you know, maybe the commissioners should all be PR type people.
Yep.
Communicate with people and bring everybody together. I think he, you know, I'm willing to give it. A lot of Nebraska fans don't like him. I say, well, Nebraska fans have a lot more to worry about than Kevin Warren right now. The Big Ten's not trying to make things harder on Nebraska. They need Nebraska to shape up and start winning. But I'm willing to give the guy a chance to earn the job. But it's tough because, you know, you should have hired somebody who was more experienced to begin with. So they saw potential in him, but he's going to be willing to learn and you know, talk and show up and I guess listen to people. That's a big thing, too, listen. So it's a tough job. Everybody's and I think the Big Ten – became a little splinter this past, you know, since August. Not everybody was on board with being a Big Ten, you know, buddy. Everybody was questioning Kevin Warren. People wanted to fire him. People were arguing a little bit over this COVID football. So it's not quite the same Big Ten as it was before, but, you know, these things, they also tend to kind of die down a little bit and then calm down. And I think he's just got to get out there and listen to the people. And, you see him, he's somebody who loves baseball. See him at a Nebraska baseball game? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's okay. So, I don't know. I think commissioners are a little overrated because, they don't do things besides, you know, TV and try to keep everybody happy. But and also don't forget the CEOs of the league, the presidents, were the ones who were really pushing back. I think his big problem was he kept the ADs out of the loop. And again, you can't do that. That was a mistake. He didn't know. And, you know, I blame the Big Ten presidents for hiring a guy who didn't know to begin with. You know, you got candidates who could a lot more qualified. Why didn't you hire them? Well, here we are. So it's a learning curve. But look, the COVID was a tough draw. That's a tough thing for any commissioner to handle. So, you know what?
Learning it better. We all went through 2020 and we learned lessons and we don't want to repeat them and we learn from them. So I'm sure he will. Not everything is hunky dory. He'll have some, you know, making up to do. But I think the best is if we don't hear from Kevin Warren until football rolls around again. I think would probably be a good thing.
Right.
Yep. Tom, as always, I appreciate it.
Okay, sir. I'll see you next week.
Yep. Thanks. Tom Chattel from the World Herald. Marquis Stepp from USC has transferred to Nebraska. Kind of like this portal thing. Nebraska is 2 days of the week. Two guys have entered. We've been kind of telling you about him all day. He is from USC. He spent the last 3 years at USC. He is from Indianapolis. He had Wisconsin and USC were two of his finalists coming out of high school. He went to USC. The offense has changed a little bit. 505 career yards, 6 touchdowns at USC, carried the ball 45 times this year. He is a 4-star back coming out of high school. USC lists him. Now, I've seen his two weights listed as 205 and 235. On the USC roster, he's listed as 6'2", 235. But Marquis Stepp has transferred to Nebraska. That running back room got very interesting. Mills will not be in it. He's going to the league. But there's There's a lot of guys that are very similar now in that running back room. But for the second straight day, Nebraska has added to their offense. Toure, the wide receiver from Montana yesterday, and now Marquise Stepp, transfer from USC at running back, will join Nebraska in the upcoming season. We're back with more after this.